Greetings. We are the one called the Archangel Michael. Some call us Mikael. You can call us whatever you like. It is our understanding that you desire to speak of what we call transition and what in your verbiage you call death. From our perspective, there is never death. Nothing dies. And transition is always the case. In other words, shift or change. And from your human perspective, which is a very powerful one, we would point out to you that your definition or idea of transition is often accompanied by the separation of the connection between soul and the physical body. In other words, the physical body literally detaches from the soul, or vice versa, depending upon how you look at it. And in the process, the physical body dies, so to speak. But the truth of the matter is, no part of you ever dies. Your essence, your energy, your soul, your higher self, call it whatever you wish, your God self, whatever name you give it, is absolutely immortal, and it lives on and on and on into eternity. So dispelling the idea that some part of you dies, and there is another piece of that which will make it a little bit easier to understand. This morning, the man Arshid was channeling the one called Serapis Bey, and there was conversation about life and having a physical body. And the first point that was made was that in order to come to this planet, in order to secure a spot, so to speak, one must first be a master. And that is very difficult for your brains to accept, because you look at it from the perspective that if we were all masters, what would we be doing here? And the truth of the matter is, it is only a master who can survive this life. It is only a master who can handle the density of the earth plane, whether you call it third, fourth, or fifth dimension, that is up to you, or whatever dimension you decide to call it. And the truth of the matter is that you come here in order to learn those aspects or lessons that you have not yet grasped. So imagining that you've had a great number of experiences in many different dimensions, and there are hundreds and thousands and millions of dimensions, as there are galaxies, hundreds, thousands, and millions of galaxies. And what takes place is this entrenchment, so to speak, into the physical body. And the mind, the physical brain, and the thought patterns begin to attach pretty seriously to the physical body. And that is about 3% of you. We have discussed this before. At least 97% of you is light and love and an incredibly immortal, infinite energy. However, with the mind and perhaps even the heart to some degree, there is a powerful identity with the physical body, because one begins to believe and feel that that is the only experience that exists, especially when there is pain, especially when there is any kind of injury, accident, or illness, even a condition that is long-lasting, which the Master Teacher Spirit points out, all conditions are temporary, all of them. They don't seem temporary when they go on for long periods of time. One who is, shall we say, entrapped by poverty consciousness believes that their poverty is absolutely the only reality that they can experience. As soon as they determine that it is temporary, then of course everything shifts. So, if you want to change something in your life, and you imagine perhaps that we are getting off the topic, and perhaps we are, but if you want to change something in your life, decide that it is temporary. This is not going to last forever. As a matter of fact, it's not going to last much more than today. Tomorrow, or in the next hour, or the next minute, I am going to have a different experience. Well, what is the different experience that you might have as it relates to what you call death or transition? It would be the belief, the absolute truth, that you are going to go on forever. Not your physical body, we didn't say that. It might go on much longer than you anticipated, based upon your shift in belief, and you might experience a much healthier experience or life after deciding that everything that is happening at this moment is temporary. We know that we are a bit off track because you are most interested in what happens after the body lies down, after it begins to deteriorate, what takes place with the soul or the higher self. But we saw an opportunity to ask you to see things a bit differently, and in doing so, gives you an opportunity to perhaps move into an entirely different experience than the one that you are having now. Not that there is anything wrong with the experience you are having now. It too is perfect, even if it is not so pleasant or desirable in your own opinion. However, you are getting what you need, possibly, rather than what you want. So now let's approach this aspect of death. And the fear or the phobia of death is quite powerful. And when you look at that aspect of it, it is because it is seemingly to you the unknown. So let's paint a picture of reality. There are a great number of spirits on your planet, in your dimension, who have decided, based upon whatever religious belief they have chosen to attach to, that when they pass, when they die, they will be judged by some overly powerful force that will either send them to heaven or hell. And that is an interesting belief from our perspective, or perhaps from the Catholic perspective. They will be sent into some place called purgatory where they will be stuck for eternity. There is no truth to any of that, by the way, from our perspective. It can be your truth if you want it to be. It is a choice in what you wish to believe in. We have no judgment of it, for indeed it has been created by humanity in order to, shall we say, alter the behavior of those who would behave badly. And there is no badly from our perspective either. Everything is perfect. Badly or good is a judgment. We're not here to judge anyone or anything. From our perspective, the truth of the matter is one chooses to enter into a path of evolution when their transition takes place. If, on the other hand, they decide that there is something very, very fearful about the experience, they do have the choice to remain behind, so to speak. They do not have to move into their path of evolution. They can choose to remain around the earth plane in a kind of energetic field that you have been taught is called the morphic field or the egregore. And they become what you refer to as spirits. You sometimes call them ghosts. So that is a choice. And you can make that choice just as easily as they can, if you wish. If you wanted to remain in this particular realm for one reason or another, and there are many, then you would not move on in your spiritual evolution or path. And if you chose to do so, if you chose to remain, then you would actually be lowering the vibrational frequency of the planet. And that is what those spirits are actually creating. That, again, of course, is their choice. And if you choose the other route, which is to move on, you will be greeted by one of the angelic realm, and there will be no judgment whatsoever. There will be more so a party, a kind of party. And it's not a party with cake and ice cream and all of that sort of thing, of course. It's a celebration of your soul's movement forward. And that celebration is celebrating the lessons learned in your sojourn or journey during the lifetime that you have lived. It is a celebration of your courage, a celebration of your force, a celebration of your energy. And that celebration will take place with the spirits and souls of your ancestors, your teachers, your guides, and all of those who have contributed to your path of learning. And there are many. And it will be a joyous celebration. And so, after that celebration takes place, it's a kind of reunion, if you will. Some of you are familiar with family reunions. It's a very joyful experience. Family reunions on your planet may not be so. However, this particular spiritual reunion will be a very powerful, positive experience. After that, what will take place is a kind of meeting of the minds, though they are not minds, they are lights, they are energies. Which energies? They are the energies that make up your council. They are the energies of those beings who have volunteered to assist you in your path forward. And the purpose of that particular gathering, which can take place in longer periods of time or shorter periods of time, given that there is no time on our side, but we say that so that you can get some appreciation for it. It's more so points of light gathering together. And they are determining with you, and you have just as much a vote as they do, as to what your path forward looks like. Now, for some of you, many of you perhaps, there is no reason to return into a physical expression. So there is no other incarnation necessary. And that is the reason it is so important, if you desire to attach to, move through the lessons that you are creating in this life. And for many of you, it is a lesson of self-love. It's not a matter of how much you love those around you. It is a matter of how much you love yourself. And whatever that lesson might be, a decision, a determination is made as to whether or not you need to reincarnate, so to speak, or if it is an opportunity to simply merge with the Creator Light. We'll call it Creator Light for lack of a better term. And remember, we are using verbiage, words, to describe something that happens that is energetic. And so, it is not a physical experience. It's an energetic experience. And we might add that from our perspective, it is a very pleasant one. That celebration of your movement forward, your advancement, your triumph, your victory, if you will, that celebration is a very powerful gathering of energies, and it is absolutely something to look forward to. So if you have a fear of death, allow yourself as best you can to dispense that fear by shifting and changing your belief about the experience. Many of you have heard the term celebration of life. A celebration of life is a place where sadness can certainly be expressed. There are tears, there are memories that come up, and there is a sense of separation. I will not be able to hold this person in my arms any longer. On the other hand, I can celebrate their victory. I can celebrate their life's experience. I can celebrate the learning that they experienced during their voluntary journey through that lifetime. Remembering it is all voluntary. Very much so. Now, we have been speaking for a long time, and we know that some of you have questions. So we wish to pause and give an opportunity for those questions to be answered, many of which we imagine have already been answered, but let us review and return if necessary. How may we help?
Thank you so much, Archangel Michael. Please place your questions in the chat, and we'll take them one by one. I'm sure you're right that many questions have been answered, and it's really one of my biggest questions is it's really the feeling of fear of death that is so difficult to transform, even though we know that there's a victory and there's a celebration and there's learning and there's experiences that we cherish and so much self-love that we've gained, hopefully. It's the feeling of fear that people wrestle with. And would you have a suggestion there as to how to let that go?
Let go of your experiences of death. Death can come expected or unexpected. Suddenly you get an announcement that so-and-so has passed. They were young. Maybe they were in their 30s, 40s, or 50s. Their passing was unexpected. And suddenly you begin to feel sad. I will not see or feel this person's energy any longer. Well, that's not true, because they're on the other side and they're light, and you may feel their energy frequently at first and then less frequently as time goes on. So what you do is you give yourself permission to totally transform all of your memory of death, all of your memory of those experiences where someone close to you passed away, and you felt this intense sadness, this separation, this helplessness or hopelessness. That is the degree to which human emotions can affect you. You do have the ability to rise above them. We are not talking about denial. You give yourself the opportunity to express your grief or your anger. There are many who feel anger when someone passes because they didn't get a chance to say goodbye. They felt this person owed them something that never got delivered. There was some expectation that was never met. Perhaps they feel as if love is being withheld from them by this person's death. Many, many reasons why that separation can be felt. But the answer to your question is to shift and change the aspect. All life is temporary. All will pass out of it. No matter how spiritually transformed, no matter how spiritually elevated, everyone will at some point separate from the physical body. And so, by seeing it from a perspective of celebration, seeing it as a graduation, a moving forward, not a moving backward. You give yourself permission to begin to dispel that fear. That fear is born of all that you have been told about death, all that you have been taught about death, all that you remember from the time you were very, very young, many of you, unless, of course, you're a walk-in and you didn't experience childhood. That's a possibility too, of course. That's a different situation. But the truth of the matter is, that is how you shift and change the aspect or the idea of death. And typically it is your fear of loss for your loved ones whom you are very, very emotionally attached to. Those are the ones that you are going to feel this intense separation about. A stranger who passes away on the street, well, there may be an immediate feeling of loss, but it doesn't last. The loss, of course, that you are most fearful of is the loss of your loved ones. And they feel the same way about you. That would be the answer to your question.
Thank you so much, Archangel Michael. Okay, one more. Is accidental death accidental? Are we choosing to die? You know, how far does our sovereignty go? All of those questions lumped into one.
There are no accidents, of course. Everything is perfect. And what you refer to as accidental death means that a person is complete. They are done. There's nothing more they can learn in this lifetime, and they don't have much more to teach anyone else. So in other words, their immediate shift or separation out of this life, their transition, is a perfect thing to happen. Of course, from your perspective, when there is suffering, when there is unexpected separation, when there is death, as you call it, and no one expected it, it seems horrible. It seems very sad. And many, many tears will be shed as a result of that grief. The lesson is not only for the person who has separated, it is also for all of those who survive that person. And when you look at the nature of that word, survive them, it seems like something that is not necessarily very positive, but it is very positive. If they are complete and it is time for them to move on, if they can learn nothing else here, the universe, remember, is a very, very efficient place, and everything takes place for powerful reasons. And so, that accidental death is absolutely a transition forward, even though it may not seem so.
Even though the person was hit by a car, or fell off a ladder, or...
or was swallowed by a whale.
Okay.
We, of course, are attempting a small amount of humor.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter how the transition takes place.
Okay, thank you. Now, you one more from me anyway. You mentioned that everything is perfect. Nothing's good or bad. Nothing's wrong or right. And this is something that human beings have a lot of difficulty with, is to let go of judgment and not call it this or that. You know, we don't do this out in public. We don't hurt people. We don't cause harm. You know, all of those things. How could they be perfect?
They are perfect.
Trafficking, for example.
They are perfect in that the individual who is experiencing what you would call the short end of the stick, in other words, the one who is suffering, needed to have that experience for one reason or another. And you look back in history, Genghis Khan, Hitler, any of the entities who were horribly, shall we say, doling out tremendous suffering to others. Why is it that they are allowed to have that experience? Why are they allowed to perpetrate those acts? they're victims, and we will put that word in quotes because they're not victims. There are no victims. But those who suffered as a result of those actions agreed to that experience before they came. They needed, for whatever reason, to have that experience. Perhaps they had experienced the other side of that event in other lifetimes. And so they needed to find out what it was like to be a victim. But they are not a victim. They are actually experiencing whatever they need to in order to learn. And you look at those who are born with very challenging and difficult illnesses. That is not an accident. That is an experience of learning. And they are just as much a master and a teacher as those who are born normal, so to speak. You use the terms abnormal and normal. And when you look at someone with Down syndrome, or you look at someone with cerebral palsy or multiple issues in terms of the health of their body, muscular dystrophy, choose one, it doesn't matter, some form of cancer, they are learning. And if they have a short lifetime, if they only live to the age of 7 or 8, it's because that's how long it needed for them to learn the lesson. And everyone feels sorry for them because they did not live a long and happy lifetime. They weren't meant to live a long and happy lifetime. They were meant to come and experience what they needed to and to teach whatever they needed to teach, remembering that all of you are students and all of you are teachers, professors, masters, and you're teaching whatever it is you're here to teach. Doesn't mean necessarily that you like it. It doesn't mean that you're particularly happy about it. But the truth of the matter is, it is what you need.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That really explains a lot, I'm sure, for everyone. So there's another question from someone, and it says, what happens when you take your own life?
Now, if you want something to be sad about, that is perhaps the one that is perhaps the saddest. When human beings arrive at a level of desperation where they believe that their life is no longer valuable, and that is precisely what they are thinking, no matter what they may experience or feel, they are believing that they are worthless, and therefore it is time for self-destruction. Self-destruction creates a long period of rest. It must be a long period of no movement forward. And during that period of time, it is basically nurturing. In other words, a tremendous amount of light is patterned or targeted toward that individual, a tremendous amount of love. And that love and that light allows that feeling of lack of self-worth to transform. And when that individual is ready to move forward in terms of their learning process, then, of course, their counsel advises them and they come forth in another incarnation. And we must explain, incarnation does not mean that you are going to be human. Incarnation can happen into the extraterrestrial realm. Incarnation can happen into that of an animal. Incarnation can happen into any dimension and any life form that is particularly, shall we say, applicable to the lessons that one is to learn. You could come back as a one-cell amoeba, and you could come back as one of the most highly intelligent extraterrestrials in the universes, in the galaxies, in the omniverse. So it depends entirely on what your lessons are. And that is what determines whom or what you come back as.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Lovely. So then there's a long comment and a question. And I think what I'll do is I'll read part of it. There's a fear here about previous fear about dying as a toddler in another lifetime, and coming into this lifetime because curiosity caused that death when she slipped on some slippery rocks. So in this case, she sometimes worries that doing things out of curiosity might end up killing her, even though now as an adult, she
feels... I'm learning so much about the soul and its purpose and things like that.
So, that's called association. Those of you with any sort of psychological background are familiar with that term. And we'd like to express another possibility. My father died when he was 81. My mother died when she was 42. Since I am a female, I will probably die when I reach the age of 42. One has nothing to do with the other. And whatever you had experienced in another existence, no matter how closely the memory is, and sometimes they're very close, it feels as if you just did it yesterday. Since the lesson was learned, you do not need to have that experience again. And we'll use some rather graphic, and unfortunately we'll apologize up front. Let's imagine you were executed in some very, very unpleasant way. And you have a fear of that particular process. Let's call it fire. You died by fire. And now you're terrified of fires because you believe it's possible that it could happen again. It's not going to happen again. You're not going to have that experience again. Now, what that does, of course, is it teaches you about risk. Do I go and walk on slippery rocks again? Do I purposely go out in the winter and find a place to test the theory? Of course not. That's not even reasonable. Because you could slip on the rock and break your leg. You wouldn't necessarily die, but you could have a very unpleasant experience. And that is a lesson in self-care. Now, that must be balanced with a certain degree of risk. In other words, when do I take a risk and when do I not? And your higher self will advise you, of course. You will get that feeling in the pit of your stomach that this is not the best idea in the world. And so you begin to listen to that intuition and you learn the lesson. And the lesson, of course, is I am not going to die by slipping on rocks. However, that does not mean that I cannot walk on dry rocks, being very careful, perhaps with someone else who is helping me balance or maintain my balance. So it is perhaps a way of looking at it from the standpoint of being reasonable. Reasonable. Reasonably careful, and yet perhaps deciding that, yes, I would like to take a risk. I would like to jump out of an airplane with a parachute on my back, or I would like to experience this or that or the other. I'd like to go scuba diving or whatever. Well, there are safe ways to do all those things, and there are foolish ways to do all of those things. And so you give yourself permission to stay awake, alert, and alive. In other words, you pay attention. You pay attention. All of you have had accidents. All of you have had accidents where you weren't paying attention. You cut yourself. You burn yourself. You roll your ankle. You step down onto a step that isn't there. All of you have had those experiences. Had you been paying attention, and had you not had that experience, paying attention would not have been one of the lessons you learned. That's how you move out of the fear, by paying attention to your intuition.
Very good. Thank you. Question. Why do some people get so-called stuck on the astral plane after death?
They get stuck because of that issue that we mentioned earlier. They've had some experience in their lifetime And they're not stuck, by the way. It looks that way to you. It seems that way to you, but they're choosing to remain in the astral plane. And the reason they choose so is because of whatever belief that was incurred during the last lifetime they lived. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to burn in hell forever. I'm waiting here for my husband, wife, son, daughter, grandparents who abandoned me in this place. And they will come back and get me. In other words, there are a whole host of reasons why one would not move forward. There is some particular responsibility that they could not fulfill, and therefore they cannot move forward or believe they cannot move forward because they couldn't fulfill it. They have been abandoned. There are numerous reasons, and none of it is real. It only seems real to them, and so they believe they are stuck. We are one of the entities, including the Archangel Gabriel, Raphael, and several others, including the one called Cassandra, whom many of you have never heard of. But the truth of the matter is, we meet those individuals on the other side. We encourage them to come to us. We encourage for them to step forward into their evolutionary path, and we encourage them by convincing them that there is not going to be any sort of detrimental consequence as a result of their moving forward.
Thank you. Very good. Are funerals of value to the departed or just the living?
They're of value to both.
Okay.
To both.
Okay, good. So, is there any more you'd like to add to the process of abstraction following death? Or I think you've done it pretty much.
We feel complete.
Okay, good. And how do we support friends and loved ones who are dying or after death?
Regardless of their place in the process, you send them love. Whether you call it prayer, meditation, contemplation, you send them love. You let them know that you are thinking about them. And you let them know that you are sending them very positive vibrations. And when that happens, they are encouraged. Their spirit, their soul is encouraged. And if, of course, they are still in this lifetime, they are simply happy that someone is thinking about them, considering them. And it's a very powerful process.
Beautiful.
We encourage it.
Beautiful. And those who have passed on, how do they communicate with us? How could we get them to communicate with us?
When you have a thought in your mind about that being, and that being sends you a message, it may feel like a feeling, it may be nothing more than a thought, but the truth of the matter is, it is a solid communication from them. Trust it. That's the primary thing. Trust it. And the only other thing we would say is be certain that it is for the highest good of all. Be aware that it is for the best of all, because those on the other side are not going to send you any message otherwise. And if you were to receive such a message, then it is wise to question it.
Great, great. So trust plays a really important part. From the I Am work, your etheric temple, Archangel Michael, is said to be located in Lake Louise, Alberta. Is this correct? Does this still exist?
Well, it is and it isn't. In other words, yes, absolutely. That is a very powerful place and it is a temple. However, there are lots of them. We have established many of them. So that, yes, is one of them. And no, it is not the only one. There are many. And thank you for asking.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Is there anything more around that you want to suggest that we do in terms of connecting with you and your essence of being?
Well, on a very positive note, if you enjoy chocolate, eat some. With that, we will give the man his body back.
We've been doing a lot of that. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
You are indeed most welcome. We bow to each and every one of you. Your courage is very, very, very respectful. So be it.
Thank you. That was really wonderful.